Tata Milisani Yafkahu Kohli. Our visiting lecturer, Dr. Mitani, respected elders, brothers and sisters, and all my friends from Madrasa, Salaam Alaikum. My name is Imran Ibrahim, and I'm here to talk to you about the benefits of reciting dua. It is my job to introduce this subject to you today, and during the rest of the days, my friends will speak about the aspects of different duas. Every Thursday night, mu'minins gather in their centers, and this is what is recited. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fa ilayka ya Rabbi nasabtu wajhi, wa ilayka ya Rabbi madattu yadi. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ اسْتَجِبْ لِي دُعَائِي وَبَلِّغْنِي مُنَايَا وَلَا تَقْطَعْ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ رَجَائِي وَاكْفِنِي شَرَّ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِي يَا سَرِيعَ الرِّضَا اغْفِرْ لِمَنْ لَا يَمْلِكُ إِلَّا الدُّعَاءَ فَإِنَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا تَشَاءُ يَا مَنْ اسْمُهُ دَوَاءٌ وَذِكْرُهُ شِفَاءٌ وَطَاعَتُهُ غِنَاءٌ ارْحَمْ مَنْ رَأْسُهُ مَالِهِ الرَّجَاءُ وَسِلَاحُهُ الْبُكَاءُ يا صابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وافعل بما انت اهله وصلى الله على رسوله والائمه الميامين من اله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is the last paragraph of Dua Kumail, a dua which was taught by Imam Ali alayhi salam to Kumail ibn Ziyad. And the summary of what I have recited is, I'm looking to you, O my Lord, and I have stretched forward my hands. Therefore, respond to my supplication, and let me attain my wishes, and protect me from my enemies. O my Lord, who is readily pleased, forgive one who owns nothing but dua. And I'm going to repeat, forgive one who owns nothing but dua. Clearly, Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us that we own nothing in this world except duas. This is a very powerful message, and we have to follow our Imam. The dua also goes on to state, O Lord, have mercy on one whose only asset is hope and whose only protection is dua. If duas were not important, why would our Imam teach us this? It is not only our first Imam who has emphasized dua, but our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, shall I introduce to you a weapon which will protect you both from the evils of enemies and increase your sustenance? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, call your Lord day and night, for dua is the weapon of a believer. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, dua is the shield of a believer. If you keep knocking on the door of divine mercy, it will be opened to you. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has said, dua is more forceful than a sword. Mu'mineens are indeed blessed with the whole book of du'as for different occasions, which has been taught to us by our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And that book is Sahif al-Sajjadiyah. There are so many other du'as such as Du'ai Maslul, Du'ai Alaman, Du'ai Tawassul, and many more. I'm still too young to understand what everything means, but my parents tell me that these du'as are the road to Jannah, if recited with understanding. But one may say, that is all fine, but show me a reference from the Quran about du'as. And in Surah Baqarah, verse 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when my servants ask you concerning me, then surely I am very near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me. So they should answer my call and believe in me that they may walk in the right way. It clearly states that I answer the prayer of the supplicant, which means the person who recites du'as. Also in Surah Mu'min, verse 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord says, call upon me, I will answer you. Surely those are too proud, for my service shall soon enter hell abast. I want to let Dr. Mitani know that I'm not interested in the Canucks or in hockey, but NFL and soccer. soccer are my sports. But all of this was banned for me when I was practicing to recite Munajat Ali Muhammadi alayhi salam. My parents insisted that I first read and understand the Munajat in English, and yes, it was very difficult for me, but I learned that in the Munajat, Mu'mineens are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are supplicating about who is the Supreme Lord and who is the serpent. My point here is, what good is reciting dua in a language that we do not understand? My dad always tells me that he does not want to hear a peer reciting, meaning one who just reads out of a book. We have to learn the meanings of the dua so we can understand what it is that we are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Duas are not meant to be recited, but they have to be asked. If I can explain this in Kachi, I would say, Dua khali paranji nai pan alawata mangunji hai. In closing, please join me in a dua that I'm only going to recite in English today. This dua covers all Muslims, all of our marhums, and all of our families, friends, and those unfortunate than us. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has said, when a Muslim prays for his brother, increase in sustenance is given to him, afflictions are driven away, and the angels tell him, you will also receive the same. This dua is religiously recited 30 days out of 365, and the dua's translation is as follows. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. O Allah, gladden the people of the graves. O Allah, enrich every poor person. O Allah, satisfy every hungry one. O Allah, clothe every unclothed one. O Allah, help every debtor pay his debts. O Allah, relieve every distressed one. O Allah, return every traveler to his home. O Allah, release every prisoner. O Allah, correct every wrong in the affairs of the Muslims. O Allah, cure every sick one. O Allah, ease our poverty by your wealth. O Allah, change our evil state to a good one through your excellent state. O Allah, relieve us of our debts and help us against poverty. Surely you have power over all things. Ameen. We all know this short dua is Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-kubur al-surur, which we recite in the month of Ramadan. When you understand the meaning, you realize that this dua can be recited every day of the week and not just in Ramadan. Lastly, when you recite your daily duas, please do not forget to mention the names of my sister and mine also. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brothers, can I please request you to come forward so we then don't have to disturb the speaker during the lecture. Please welcome the speaker with a loud Nare Salwat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وخاتم النبيين، نبينا وشفينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإليك يا ربي نسبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لدعائي وبلغني منايا، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واخفي شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فآل لما ابتشى. يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وتعته غناء، إرهام من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاؤه اللقاء. يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم، يا عالما لا يعلم. صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل به ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، وهو أصدق الصادقين وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والآسر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات. Before starting the majalis, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with the lecture that preceded this lecture. A small child, Imran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him tawfiqat and his family. He recited the importance of dua. And basically now he has made it very difficult for me, because one whole majlis of mine was going to be on dua. So now I have to scrap that one and try and do something else. So he has now increased my work. So I don't think I'll be able to play that game of golf. Anyway, I think that the lesson that he articulated really is something we need to ponder on as far as the importance of dua. And inshallah, I'm looking forward to the other youth who will come forward in the next days, who are going to expand on the subject, because it is a very important subject. And I will still touch on it inshallah in my majalis. Surah Asr, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal Asr." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the passage of time through the ages. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That surely and most surely mankind is at a loss. Salat. Surely and most surely mankind is at a loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. except for those people who have faith and belief, and those people who perform good deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. And those people who enjoin each other towards the truth, and those people who enjoin each other towards patience and forbearance. And my friends, in the last 3 or 4 nights, we have been talking and going on this journey of Iman, and trying to evaluate our Iman. And hopefully we have had an opportunity to self-reflect on what is the Iman that we have, and how is it that we can progress within a framework of continuous improvement spiritually, so that we may attain that level which gets us to success, rather than being amongst those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in this surah as the people who will be at a loss. And I said to you yesterday that the only gateway to making your belief strong and unshakable, and to progress to a level of certitude, is to understand Tawheed. And I was very pleased with the feedback that I got yesterday, that I think many people understood what I was trying to say in the majalis yesterday when we talked about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am going to ask you to raise your level of understanding a notch. I'm going to kick it up a notch. Right? Emeril, you know, Emeril, if you ever watch Emeril, I don't know if he comes here or not. He's a cook. He always wants to kick it up a notch. So today I'm going to kick it up a notch. And I want you to raise your level of understanding again today, because today we are going to set the other part of the foundation of belief, and that is to talk about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are able to comprehend the existence of Allah and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guarantee you, it is my guarantee to you, that every amal that you do will be aligned with Iman and not devoid of it. And this is the time when you achieve that level, that you will have pleasure in the ibadat that you perform. You will want to wait for the time of namaz. You will want to wait for it, because there will be a pleasure in it for you, because you have understood the concept of your Creator. Yesterday, just to summarize, we talked about the fact, as far as the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, we said that you have to assume that there was a time when matter, liquid, solid, or gas, was not in existence. There was a time when matter, liquid, solid, or gas, was not in existence. There was nothing. And at that time, there must have been a creator, that prime cause that we talked about, the prime mover, that brought this non-being into existence as a being. Yes? I'm just summarizing from yesterday. That's what we talked about yesterday. So there must be an all-supreme, all-knowledge, all-power, the cause that brought the matter to existence by creation. Right? And because it is an all-supreme, all-knowledge, all-power, it must be one and only one. Lost you already. the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be understood and can only be understood through the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. I have made a very big statement, and I do not apologize for the statements that I make here. I have no apologies. Because the concept of God, of Allah, if you browse through the internet, because our children browse through the internet, my friends. It was in Dar es Salaam that we used to rely on Mualim Najaf and Mualim Isa. Now there is Mualim AOL. And our children will browse through the internet and they will read the books of Muslims, Muslims who have described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is incomprehensible. There is a description in Muslim books, and this is inculcating into our society, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. It is permeating slowly. This school of thought, call it what you want, in the name of Islam, is permeating in our society. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can give you references, I am telling you this with absolute confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these books, in these authentic Islamic books, freely available on the internet at the press of a button, Allah is described as a person who sits in the heaven. He has spread himself in the heaven. And he's sitting on a chair that creaks, and at any time it's going to break. And after the Tufan and Nuh, he wept so much that he had to be treated. You are laughing. But this is the description of Allah that you find in the Muslim books. On the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, Jahannam will say to Allah, this you'll find in the books, Jahannam will say to Allah, no, give me more. I'm still hungry, give me more. And Allah will say to Jahannam, there is no more. They are all there. There is no more. And what he will do is he will put his foot in Jahannam. And Jahannam will say, bas, bas, bas. Thank you very much. This is the description of Allah in Muslim books. Muslim books. And when you go to Jannat, inshallah, we will all go to Jannat. When you go to Jannah, Allah will come outside, he will greet you, he will shake your hand and say, welcome to Jannah. You're a good man. Come on in. It's all yours now. And then there is an ajeeb riwayat. And that says that on Thursday nights, Allah sits on a donkey and he comes all over the world. And what he does is he gives pardon. He comes all over the world sitting on a donkey and he gives pardon to people. I hope he comes to Orlando. In India, you will see that there are some Muslims who put hay on their rooftops on Thursday nights, so that when Allah comes on his donkey, maybe the donkey will be hungry and he will eat the hay. When I did research in Tawheed, and I read this in the books of Muslims that they are proud of as being authentic books, I said to myself, what is it that our children are going to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People say to me, you ask a child, what is the difference between a Shia and a non-Shia Muslim? And what is said? Oh, you know, the difference is that after the Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say that after the Prophet, the Shias believe in Imam Ali as the Khalifa. Imam Ali alayhi salam as the true Khalifa. And the other Muslims believe in somebody else as the Khalifa after the Prophet. This is the difference between the Shias and the non-Shia Muslims. My friends, that is not the difference between the Shias and the non-Shia Muslims. The difference is in Tawheed. The belief of God, the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different in these two populations. For we believe in Tawheed as the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been described to us by our first Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Ab main hawala pesh karta hoon. I'm not going to recite too much of it today. میں حوالہ پیش کرتا ہوں اس گھرانے کا اس شخص کا جو نفس رسول ہے. یاد رکھنا نفس رسول ہے. امام احمد بن حنبل جو سنی اہل سنہ والجماعہ کا ایک امام ہے وہ بیٹھا ہوا تھا اپنے صحابیوں کے ساتھ. ایک شخص پوچھتا ہے امام احمد بن حنبل کو کہ اصحاب کرام میں سے سب سے افضل کون تھا. ایک شخص پوچھتا ہے احمد بن حنبل کو کہ اصحاب کرام میں سے سب سے افضل کون تھا. تو احمد بن حنبل کہتا ہے ابو بکر. دائیں جانب سے احمد بن حنبل کا بیٹا عبداللہ کھڑا ہوتا ہے کہتا ہے فما تقول فی علی ابن ابی طالب. تو علی ابن ابی طالب کے بارے میں آپ کا کیا خیال ہے؟ احمد بن حنبل کہتا ہے بیٹھ جائے. وہ شخص پوچھتا ہے وسما. اس کے بعد احمد ابن حنبل کہتا ہے عمر ابن خطاب. عبداللہ پھر کھڑا ہوتا ہے فما تقول فی علی ابن ابی طالب. تو پھر علی ابن ابی طالب کے بارے میں آپ کا کیا خیال ہے؟ پھر بیٹھ جائے. وہ شخص تیسری بار پوچھتا ہے کہ نمبر تھری کون ہے؟ کہتا ہے عثمان ابن عفان. اب عبداللہ طرف گیا ایک مرتبہ کھڑا ہو کے کہتا ہے فما تقول فی علی ابن ابی طالب کہ علی ابن ابی طالب کے بارے میں آپ کا کیا خیال ہے؟ تو احمد ابن حنبل کہتا ہے کہ یا ولدی یسالون عن الصحابہ و
قرآن نفس ان لوگوں نے مجھے صحابیوں کی علامت پوچھی ہے، علی تو نفس رسول ہے.
ذرا مل کے نعرہ لگائیے، زور سے نعرہ لگائیے، علی ابن ابی طالب کے نام سے آپ ڈرے مت، زور سے نعرہ لگائیے. جزاک اللہ، صلوات علی محمد و علی محمد. وقت نہیں ہے، میں ڈائگریس کرتے ہیں، کوئی بات نہیں، بات نہیں. صلوات علی محمد و علی محمد.
So let us look at the definition of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from none other than Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam says that Allah's oneness has no limits whatsoever. You cannot limit him or you cannot confine him. You see, he says, knowledge is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge cannot limit him. Space is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So space cannot limit him. So in other words, you cannot separate his attributes or his characteristics from his being or his essence.
Really deep. You gotta search there. It'll come out. You search real hard.
Search. You cannot separate his characteristics, his attributes, from his being or his essence. Yeah? All the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are intrinsic to him. They cannot be separated. Because if you separate his attributes from his being, then you have created two.
Allahu Akbar.
You see, I am young. So I am something else. Youngness is something else. Yes? I am knowledgeable. So I am something else. Knowledge is something else. You understand? So you, because what happened? There was a time when I was not knowledgeable. So I acquired the attributes. They are two different things. You cannot say the same thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali says, his attributes are intrinsic. They are one and the same as his being. So when you say, in Sifat al-Subutiyya, we say Allah is alim. It actually, what it means is Allah is ilm. Ilm is from him. Allah is raziq. It means Allah is rizq. Rizq is from him. You cannot separate, because we used to say in Gujarati, we used to say ke any zat, any sifat ti alagnati, ki ekache. Tum iski zat ko, اور اس کی صفات کی تقسیم نہیں کر سکتے، وہ ایک ہی ہے. You understand? This is what Imam is trying to explain, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, if you attach an attribute or a characteristics to Allah, if you attach an attribute or a characteristic to Allah, then what you are doing is you are associating him with something else. Right? So if you have an attribute that is knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you associate that with him, you consider that separate. You have created two eternals. One eternal is knowledge, and the other eternal is Allah. And then one eternal is rizq, and the other eternal is Allah. If you separate it, you've created two. And he's only one. And if you separate his characteristics from his being, then what you have done is you can point to him. Allahu Akbar. If you separate his characteristic from his being, then you can say, this is knowledge, this is Allah. Because you are making that attribute extrinsic to him, where else all his attributes are intrinsic. If you point to him, you have contained him. If you contain him, then you can say he is here, because you've contained him. And which means that if he's here, he's not there. But Allah is everywhere. Salawat wa salam. A person came to Imam Jafar al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And when Imam had explained to him about the oneness of Allah, this man said to Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, well, if that is the case, then why is it that when we do dua, we look up at the sky? You don't do dua like this? How do you do dua? This is the way I do dua. Like this. How do you do dua? The same way, right? Somebody asked Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, so you are saying he is everywhere. He cannot be contained. His attributes and his being or his essence are the same. They cannot be separated because he has not acquired anything. He has created it. So why is it that we do dua like this? So Imam Jafar al-Sadiq said that you don't understand. The reason we do dua like this is because this is the posture of a beggar who's begging. It does not mean that Allah is there and is not anywhere else. It is the posture of a beggar who is begging to Allah. So when you do dua wherever you want. In whatever state you're in, if you're driving the car, do dua. Don't listen to Michael Jackson, do dua. You can't listen to Michael Jackson these days anyway, because he's a bit iffy guy now. At any stage, you're able to do dua, because he is everywhere. You see, this is the whole point of understanding Tawheed. You do not have to wait until Thursday night when you come in this center to do dua. And who says you have to do dua in Arabic? Do dua in whichever language you want. By sitting, by sleeping, by eating, wherever you want, do dua. He is everywhere. You understand the oneness of Allah and you do dua all the time. Brothers, I've been told to ask you to still come forward. I told you yesterday, you know, I don't feel you as close to me, so come closer. I don't bite, I promise. And I won't pick on you if you come closer. Salawat Pallam Muhammad Wali. Sheikh Suduki, may Allah be pleased with him, Sheikh Suduki writes, that in Jungle Jamal, the battle of the camel, Jungle Jamal, an Arab came to Imam Ali, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. An Arab came to Imam Ali, and this Arab, in the middle of the Battle of Jamal, Battle of Jamal, if you ever read the history, is not like a small battle. It's like a pretty big battle, right? And in the middle of the battle of Jungle Jamal, this Arab comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he says, Ya Ali, فَقَيْفَ تَقُولْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ. How are you saying that Allah is one? Look at the situation. Imam Ali is in the middle of the battle. He is with his companions. He is strategizing the moves. He is strategizing the moves of the battle. And in the middle of this strategy session, somebody comes to Imam Ali and says, Ya Ali, فَكَيْفَ تَقُولْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ. How do you say that Allah is one? So the companions of Imam Ali who were there, right? They said to this Arab, take it easy, brother. Okay, this is a battle. It's no monkey business here, okay? You want to ask this question? Let's go to the mosque after the battle is finished. We have a cup of coffee, you know, Starbucks. You know, we have a discussion about this. This is a battle, brother. Take it easy. And Imam Ali looked at his companions and he says, don't tell him that. For if that side were to understand the oneness of Allah, we would not have been in battle today. This is the reason that we are fighting to preserve the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali says in Jang al-Jabal. So, Imam says to this person, Allah is one, but not in numerical order. Allah is one, but not in number. فَإِنَّهُ وَاحِدْ لَيْسَ بِعَدَدْ. Allah is one, but not in number. Because one is preceded by zero, or half, or quarter, and it is followed by two, or three, or four. And there is nothing that precedes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nothing that follows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is one, but not by number. You see, Shafiq Bhai, you can see from his kibara, right? He has been to Hajj, alhamdulillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiqat that we may all go next year to Hajj. When you go to Saudi Arabia, you want to go and you want to buy tea. So what do you say? Shai Wahid bin Halib Sukar Mafi. I know he drinks Shai Wahid bin Halib Sukar Mafi in Hajj, because I was with Hajj. Shai Wahid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Not Wahid. Because after Wahid there is Ithnain. After Ahad there is no Ithnain. Nothing can precede him. Nothing can follow him. So he is one, but not in number. And then Imam Ali says, you cannot even regard him as one of a kind or one of a category. Because if you regard him as one of a kind, then you have created an equal to him, but he's only one. Allah. This in Jang al-Jamal. It's still, what is going on here? But. And Imam is explaining to this Arab the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you understand, you cannot consider him as one of a kind or one of a category. Because if you consider him as one of a category, then you have made an equal to him. Imam says that the only way that you can consider him as one is by considering him as an absolute unity. Unique. unity. Nothing precedes him. Nothing follows him. There is no equal to him. He is an absolute unity. Imam says he is al-ahadiyul ma'ana. Absolute unity. And that Arab says, Ya Ali, ma ma'ana al-ahadiyul ma'ana. What is the meaning of al-ahadiyul ma'ana? And Imam alayhi salam says, Yani, la yankasimu fil wujud, wala fil aql, wala fil waham. It means he cannot be divided, he cannot be divisible, not in existence, nor in reason, nor in imagination. He is just one. And as soon as this guy heard this, he got shocked. He ran from it. And he said, these people who are fighting this man, they are crazy. For today, for the first time, this Bedouin Arab says, today, for the first time, I have understood the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when you believe that he has always existed, that he has no limitations, he cannot be contained, that he is everywhere, that his attributes cannot be separated from his being or his essence, that knowledge is from him, that power is from him, that creation is from him, that he is one and not in numerical order, and he is one not of a category. When you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those terms, then you will realize that whatever you do, wherever you are, the oneness is with you all the time. All the time. Who are you asking for? Who are you begging to? He is there all the time in his oneness, in his power, in his creation, in his knowledge, in his risk. Why are we turning to other people? As you understand this, and you understand that when I want to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I can appreciate him by appreciating his creations. And from tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about how we can be in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are living in an age of communication. We need to have contact. So how are we going to be in contact with this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have described through the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? Our seventh Imam, Imam Musa Qazim salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, Abu Hanifa, one of the other Imams of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One day he was passing by and he saw this seventh Imam, who was a small child at that time, 6-7 years old. Imam was with a goat and he was doing something with the goat. So Abu Hanifa, he came. He wanted to see the sixth Imam. So he came. He wanted to use the bathroom. So he came to this 6-7 year old and he said to him that, what are you trying to do here? And the seventh Imam said to him, I'm trying to teach this goat how to do such a thing. So Abu Hanifa thought, well, he's an interesting person. So he said to the child, he said, I'd like to have a chat with you, but I have to use the bathroom. I have to relieve myself. Can you tell me where I can go? So Imam alayhi salam looked at him and he said, I will tell you where you should go to relieve yourself. Find a place where there is nobody who can see. Make sure that the wind is blowing in a certain direction. Make sure that the water you use is cool. Give all the masail of a person who has to go and relieve himself in the bathroom. I think this guy even forgot that he had to go to the washroom. So he looked at all of this and he said to himself, you know, this person, this child looks like an intelligent boy. I'd like to ask him a couple of questions. So he says to Imam Musa Jaf, he says that, what do you say about destiny? What do you say about destiny? That does a man commit a sin by his own accord? Or his own free will? Or does Allah make him do it? This is the Ash'ari school of thought. It is still found in actually a very large section of the Muslim ummah. And this is why they'll tell you that don't cry over Imam Hussein, because it was destined for him to die. Why you are crying? It is destined for him to die, so why you are crying? In Africa, we used to say, Nimedaliwa. It is destined for me. I am drinking alcohol, Nimedaliwa, because it's destined for me. God made me do it. It was written for me. God had written it for me, so I'm doing it. There is nothing that can change it. It is written by God. So Abu Hanifa asked this question. So Imam alayhi salam said to Abu Hanifa, look, there can only be three circumstances. Right? He said, either Allah makes us do it. Right? Or there is some sort of a partnership between us and Allah. 50-50, let's say. It's a 50-50 partnership. 50% we are doing it of our own will. 50% Allah is making us do it. Or everything we do is of our own free will. There can be no other situation. And Abu Hanifa said, yes, that's right. So Imam alayhi salam says, if you believe that Allah has made us do it, then why should Allah create Jahannam? If He made us do it, then there should be no punishment, because it was destined. He destined for us, so why should it be against the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you say that it's a 50-50 partnership, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to share in the punishment, because He's also responsible for it. And that is not possible as well. So the only possibility is that we do it of our own free will. Beautifully captured the concept of adalat by our seventh Imam in this one statement. And nobody up to now has been able to refute that. It has come from the Ahlul Bayt, not from any shaykh or mullah. Bahlul. One day, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he was talking to a couple of his friends, and he was saying that there are three things that I cannot understand. This is particularly for my children, because I think at every level I have to make sure that people understand. So, he said that, Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that there are three things I cannot understand. And I cannot reason with three things that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three things that he has said that I cannot understand. One is that shaitan is made of fire. right? We talked about Mr. Shaitan yesterday, right? He's made of fire. So how will fire burn fire in hell? I cannot understand this. Second thing he said, that if I cannot see something, how can I accept that it exists? I cannot understand this. Imam Jafar Sadiq is telling me, it doesn't make sense to me. If I cannot see something, how can I accept that it exists? And the third thing he says is that, that I know that everything that we do has been destined for us. Allah has made us do it. And Imam says that is not the case, so that I can't understand it. So Bahlul was listening to this, and he took a piece of brick, clay, solid clay, and he threw it at Ahmadinejad, on his head. So Ahmadinejad Hanbal said, well, go catch this Bahlul, because everybody thought Bahlul was a crazy person, right? So they brought Bahlul. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal said to Bahlul, Kambakht, what did you do? Why are you throwing this at me? So Bahlul said, I didn't do it. Allah made me do it. You go catch Allah. And then Bahlul says, you are in pain? And he said, yes, it's really hurting me. So Bahlul says, show me your pen, because I don't believe in anything that does not appear to exist. If I cannot see your pen, then where is your pen? And then the third thing Bahlul says to him, that how can you say that it hurts in the first place? Because you are made of clay, and I threw clay at you. Just like this clay has given you pain, that fire in hell will burn, Shaitan. Ilahiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His oneness needs to be understood, my friends. And when we understand the oneness of Allah, then inshallah in a few nights we will progress. We will start to make contact with Him. I promise you, you can make contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make contact. And we will progress, and we will talk about how we can make contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to understand His oneness and His existence. There was a time when Imam Khomeini, may Allah be pleased with him, before the Iranian revolution, he was in Najaf at one time, before the revolution. And people used to come to him and visit him. And they used to say to him that, you know, Agha, you know, when the Iranian revolution will come, this is what we will do, this is how we will do it, this is the strategy that we will use. And Imam Khomeini used to listen. And he would just nod his head, he would listen. And they would go. And this one man, he came every day. Yes, yes, you know, Agha, this is what we are going to do, this committee, this thing, everything he was doing. Imam used to just listen. And then he would say, okay, Kudafis, I'm going. And Imam would say, Kudafis. Yeah, I'll come back tomorrow. No problem, Bismillah, come back tomorrow. One day, he came with Nahjul Balagha. And he came with that letter that Imam Ali alayhi salam had written to Malik Ashtar. That letter that is in Nahjul Balagha on how to govern. How to govern. So he came with that letter to Imam Khomeini, and he said, I wrote this letter of Imam Ali through Malik Ashtar. You know, I just want you to see this letter, and this is how we will govern, and this is what we will do, and this is how we will do it. And Ayatollah Khomeini just kept quiet. And this man then said to Ayatollah Khomeini, he said, "Aga, I am coming here every day, and you are not saying anything. What's the problem here? You're not saying anything." So Allah said that you have come today with the letter that my grandfather wrote to Malik Ashtar. You think I don't know about this letter? But he said, look, when you speak, I do not smell the fragrance of Tawheed in your words. I see the desires of this world. I do not smell the fragrance of Tawheed. Come back when you have understood Tawheed and the reason why I want to do what I want. It is easy for a leadership, no matter where that leadership is. And Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with good leadership in this Jamaat. And I'm not talking, honestly I'm not talking about this leadership, because I don't know the people. But I'm telling you, remember one thing, that if there is no concept and understanding of Tawheed in any Islamic institutional leadership, then there will be no progress. There will be no progress. Remember that. And Tawheed, as explained by Imam Hussein salawatullah wa salam, for if you read his dua, Dua Arafat, it is full of the lessons of Tawheed. Full of it. Today, third night of Muharram, and the sacrifices that have been given by the martyrs of Karbala have been for none else than protection of the Ilahi, the oneness of Allah. The first shaheed, the very first shaheed of Karbala is Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam. Muslim who was sent to Kufa by Imam Hussein. And when he went to Kufa with the scare tactics of Ibn Ziyad Mal'un, the colors of the Kufians changed like Kabilians. And there is a point in history where Muslim finds himself as that lone animal being hunted by a prey of wolves. Muslim is running in the streets of Kufa from one alley to another alley, as there are people all over Kufa who are looking for his head. Muslim comes to a point. He comes and he sits outside the house of an old woman, tired, exhausted, very, very apprehensive, worried, agitated. And an old woman comes out of the house, looks at Muslim and says, "Oh, old person, what is it that troubles you today?" And Muslim, alayhi salam, looks at this old woman and he says to her that there is nothing that troubles me. except the fact that I have sent a letter to my Mawla Hussein and asked him to come to this place where the people are going to be after his life. That's the only thing that Muslim is worried about. When this old woman, who was a Muhibbana Ahlul Bayt, when she found out, she said to Muslim, Muslim, come inside. Muslim said, that old woman, I don't want to come inside, for I don't want to keep you into trouble. The old woman said, Muslim, at least have a glass of water. At least have a glass of water, for you look very thirsty. Muslim said, okay, give me a glass of water. As Muslim was drinking this glass of water, this old woman's son, whose name is Bilal, he came to know that Muslim was at his house. Immediately, he informed the police of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad's police went, and they caught Muslim. Muslim was brought to the palace of Ibn Ziyad, and Ibn Ziyad said to his police, I want to make an example of this man, for I do not want any supporter of Hussein ibn Ali to remain in Kufa. He said, I want you to take Muslim and take him to the rooftop and behead Muslim in the They took Muslim to the rooftop, beheaded Muslim in the rooftop. And then Ibn Ziyad said, now I want you to take the head of Muslim and I want you to hang the head of Muslim in the gateway entrance to Kufa, so that whenever somebody comes to Kufa, they realize what I am going to do with all those people who are the supporters of Imam Hussein. And then Muslim's body was taken. It was tied with a rope to the back of a horse. And in the alleyways of Kufa, this body of Muslim was dragged from one alley to another alley throughout Kufa. Zadaro, in the meantime, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam was making his way towards Kufa, a man came to Imam Hussein, a messenger came and said to Imam Hussein, Ya Imam, I have news that Muslim has been mercilessly killed in Kufa. As soon as Imam heard this, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Immediately he told Janab Zainab, Zainab, go and call Muslim's daughter Atika. Muslim's daughter Atika was brought to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein took the daughter of Muslim and put Muslim's daughter on his lap. And Imam started to show his love and his affection to Muslim's daughter. As soon as Ruqayya, who was Muslim's wife, saw this, she immediately knew that Muslim had died. She started to cry. And Atika asked Imam Hussein, Baba, is it true that my father has died? Then Imam Hussein said, Atika, I am your father. Why are you despairing? As this was going on, the four-year-old Sakina was looking at this. Immediately Sakina went to Imam Hussein and said, Baba Jan, is this the way that Islam teaches us to treat the orphans? Imam Hussein said, Ah, Sakina, this is the way we must treat our orphans. Little did Sakina know that in Sham-e-Ghariba, when she became an orphan, there was nobody there to shower love for Sakina. Nobody there to give her any condolence. There were Na'een who tore the earrings from the ears of Sakina. there was Shimmer, who hit Sakina on the face, and then the whole cheek of Sakina became red. Hazadaro, jab ye luta hua kafila, Karbala ke baad kufa aaya hai, to Rukaiya, ek martaba ye kafila kufe ki bahar khara hua, jab kufe ke bahar ye kafila khara hua hai, to ek martaba Rukaiya ne dekha ke kufe ke darwaze pe ek sar lita hua hai, ek martaba Rukaiya ne gaur se sar ko dekha, pata chala ke ye sar Muslim ka hai, Rukaiya ne Muslim ko dekha, Muslim ne Rukaiya ko dekha, azadaro Rukaiya kehti hai Muslim, main aapko ye nahi poochti ki aapko patthar kisne mare, main aapko ye nahi poochti ki aapka sar kaise kalam hua, main aapko ye bhi nahi poochti ki aapki laash kufe ki galiyon mein lainon ne kaise ghisat ke le gaye. Ha Muslim, tu mujhe ye mat poochna ke Karbala mein hamare sab kaise mare gaye. Muslim, tu mujhe ye mat poochna ke 3 din ki bhook aur pyaas humne kaise bardasht ki. Aur Muslim, tu Rukaiya ko ye mat poochna ke lainon ne kaise zulm kiye, hamare khayme kaise jalaye, hamari chadre kaise chini, hamare haath pase gardan kaise bandhe. Lekin ha Muslim, ek sawal karti hu, Muslim ek hi sawal karna chahti hu. कहा मुस्लिम, जब तुम यहाँ आए थे तो मेरे दो नन्हे नन्हे बच्चे तुम्हारे साथ थे, मेरे बच्चे कहाँ है? मैं कहूंगा जनाबे रुकैया को कि अब ये मत पूछ, मुस्लिम तरफ जाएगा तुम्हारे बच्चे इब्ने ज़ियाद के कैद खा.
रस्ते में सुनी शेर ने जिस दम खबरे मुस्लिम, रस्ते में सुनी शेर ने जिस दम खबरे मुस्लिम, याने की कता तन से कूफे में सरे मुस्लिम, रस्ते में सुनी शेर ने जिस दम खबरे मुस्लिम, रस्ते में सुनी शेर ने जिस दम खबरे मुस्लिम, याने की कता तन से रोते थे शाहे आलम ते सारे महासिन तुम, रोते थे शाहे आलम ते सारे महासिन तुम, खेते थे हरम से हम हे नौ अगरे मुस्लिम, शहने जिस दम खबरे मुस्लिम, रस्ते में सुनी शह जिस दम खबरे मुस, याने की कता तन से वापस रातो अधर दा किस्मत में ये लिखा था, वापस रातो अधर दा किस्मत में ये लिखा था.